Sports Radio 929 The Game. Welcome back in. It's the morning shift. It is time for the wake-up call, 404-726-0929. A number of just, I don't know, passionate discussions this morning.
So many.
Surrounding not only the Atlanta Braves in the lineup, but whether or not Ronald Acuna's future might be slid down in the lineup, which I'm a proponent of, and as you guys heard, Bo is not. Also, if you had a bar, what would you call the bar? We were talking about Michael Penix having a street named after him, which is always cool, but one of the conversations is, what would your bar be called? What would you name it? If you want to weigh in on that, 404-726-0929. I do want to bring people in on one of the conversations we're having in the studio. Bo's trying to decide whether or not he would bring Pork Chop to a Braves game right now. And Pork Chop is, how many months along are we?
Two. She's over two. It's like 11 weeks.
Yeah.
Right? I think this is coming
up on 3 months old.
Yeah. Yeah, my buddy Brent, who was obviously down there with us at the race, we talked about him. He's the one that gathered that ridiculously bad video
Intel.
That was propaganda that you paid him to record and paid Miss Pearl to say. He was like, hey, you guys want to go to the Braves game July 5th? And I'm like, well, you know, I don't know. I'm hesitant to make decisions right now. I'll let Amy. And Amy's like, yeah, I think that'd be fun. So we start talking about it, and we're talking about like seats, and then she just looked at me. She's like, "I don't know about this." She's like,
"Wait,
I mean,
you just said it'd be fun. What are you talking about?"
But this was a couple hours later. She's like, "It's gonna be hot. It's all these things." And look, the Braves do a phenomenal job making things very pleasant with a lot of that splash zone they have, right, and the cool zone and everything. But she can't run through that right now.
I'm
not running through it with her.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm already going to, well, I guess it wouldn't matter. I'd already be probably soaking wet if the walk with the cooler and AMS was any example. But so we're just kind of debating back and forth. Is it just too much? Too hot?
Yeah.
Because my thing is by the time you get to the stadium, if you're not in a cooled area, you're going to be right back out baking. And I think it's just too much for a baby that young. But.
You kind of disagree with me,
I think, a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember this. We were doing, Allie, a couple of months ago, we were doing baby advice for Bo.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always, and this is hard to remember, but the best baby advice I ever got, and I have forgotten this time and time again, is that baby moved in with you.
This is true.
That baby moved in with you. You and your wife are still the married couple. The baby moved in with you. Try to keep things as normal as possible and live normal lives and have that baby come along with you. It's hard, man. There is nothing more difficult than deciding when and if to take a baby. And you obviously, it's very, very hot and things like that. But if possible, I am always a proponent of parents going out and living their lives and just having their baby tag along when possible.
Well, to this point, we've done that. We take her to Cancun's all the time. We clubhouse a few times.
Yes.
I mean, I basically said, hey, I know you just got here, Mel, but I'm going to NASCAR, so have fun. This weekend, do whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, now, luckily, Amy was there with her. I don't want D-Facts coming
for yourself.
I mean, I don't want D-Facts. Like, wait. No, I'm joking. Amy got baby duty. That's why I came home yesterday and was like, hey, I gotta pull weight. I just don't know if the – and we have. Like, that's the thing, though. That's the one thing I would say is we've done everything. Like, you know, she did move in with us and – we've adapted and still been able to do things. That said, I don't want to be ridiculous about it, you know? And I'm not sure if...
Like I said, when possible.
A Braves game in July outside in 4 o'clock is maybe the best idea.
Yeah, maybe sign up for things that sound fun to you.
Right.
You know, keep doing things that sound fun to you, not stressful.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, would you go to a game and sit in the sun? Not that you would sit in the sun with the baby, but would you sit in the sun on July 5th at a Braves game?
Let's see. Like, if we were in this situation, if this exact situation was here and she wasn't around, we'd probably go. However, don't know if I would sit in the sun.
Bring the neck fan, the battery powered Rayobi
fan. I'd probably just say, let's go to the chop house.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the phone lines again. Wake up call 404-726-0929. Thank you guys so much. I got full phone lines, man. Let's start at the top here. Dial on. Let's go with Mike over in Comer, Georgia. Mike, what's going on, man? Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, man? So first and foremost, I've always rapped Mike's Mafia, but one bad call, man, and I got to switch over to Squid Nation, wow. man. You can't bump Ronald Acuna to the anywhere. Oh. You've already got Eli White and them hitting in front of him in every inning except for the first inning, and they just don't get on base enough. You got to have Acuna in number one. Yeah. Olsen behind him, I love it. We need Riley and Ozuna to pick it up. But most importantly, you got to split up Ozzy Albies and Mike Harris. They cannot hit back-to-back in the order. I like Ozzy at 7, Harris at 9. And a bar, if I owned a bar, I'd name it My Place or Yours.
Ooh.
Thanks, guys.
Boy, I'm going to tell you something. I think that's it.
Phenomenal.
We don't need any more callers.
Nobody before I join the nation.
That's right. We just need to have a perfect. That's perfect. I you know, Dylan, let's go to break.
Him and Miss Pearl, that's a plus one, minus one. Shout out. But, no, I don't necessarily know if I'm a proponent of moving Ronald, but something has to change, and that's kind of where I'm at right now. And let's just make drastic changes here in the second half of the season.
I think it's important, and I understand your sentiment there. I'm just telling you that that's not the guy you can move. You can move other people around. You just can't move the one spot. That's right. It. Sorry.
Let's go back to the phone lines, and let's just run right down into here, Dylan. Let's go over to Jaw out in Cobb County. Jaw, what's going on, man? Hope you're having a good day.
Good morning. I think as far as the Ronald thing, I think the guys that we locked up to the long contracts need to start producing consistently, minus Ronald and Olsen. And that's kind of where I am with the Braves. I don't think you need to fire Schnitt. I think the guys who we locked up just need to produce.
Yeah.
Simple as that. If I had a bar, I'm a big football guy, so I would call it Blue 42. You know what I mean?
That's a great name. Yeah. That is a great name.
Oh,
call.
Buddy. Nice work. Blue 42. Man, that's a phenomenal bar name.
I mean,
that really is.
Now
make sure you copyright that. I was going to say,
now
you need to go out and copyright that
calls.
One. That's Blue
Two
42
calls.
Is very, very solid.
Isn't it?
I don't, the Braves thing, I think that's what he just said is the be all end all of the entire conversation. The guys that need to perform and that you're paying to perform had to perform. And that's. If that were to happen, if Michael Harris and Austin Riley to a much lesser extent, but Ozzy Albies as well, if those guys would just perform the way you were paying them and the way they have in the past, then we wouldn't have any of these other conversations would be non-existent. We wouldn't have to talk about moving Ronnie down in the lineup or splitting up Albies and Michael Harris and who needs to play center field and this, that, and the other. That's the basis of the entire conversation. So appreciate the phone call to Job. Let's have it's another member of the nation. Let's head over to Tinker over in Kennesaw. Tinker, I hope you're having a good morning, my friend.
Good morning.
What's up, man?
Hey, did that aluminum count ever get up to around 100?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I had to go back and do some hard line counting, which I didn't do much of this weekend.
Oh, man. Come on now. Well, with the Braves, the only thing they're going to have to worry about in the lineup is who's going to tee off first. That's where they're going to be later. And if I had a bar, I'd just call it Knock the Fire from it.
Knock the Fire. I appreciate the phone call.
I think Tinkers would
I think
be a
he
good
just
name.
Did a Cancun on three for the Braves. He just mailed it in. Cancun on three, 1, 2, 3, Cancun. But I think Tinker's sentiment about the Braves, unfortunately, I feel like it's how a lot of Braves fans feel right now. What? And I don't think you feel like that. You were kind of updating the wild card standings this morning in your head going, well, you know, if this happens, that happens. They're right back in it.
Look, I'm optimistically – I'm an optimistic outlook person when it comes to the Braves. I'm not overly – I don't know where I'm at right now. I'm trying to keep hope alive.
Well, and I'm always an optimist when it comes to the Braves, but it was this weekend when you would have someone on base then and be like, who's up next? Oh, man.
Oh. Yeah, you're just like, you got that sick feeling in your stomach.
100%. Yeah. But,
and to your point, Allie, that's why I'm okay with what Mike's saying about mixing the lineup up.
Yeah.
It's just where.
Yeah.
I think Wednesday, Yerkes and Profar comes back, right? It's July 2nd, Wednesday. He's hitting 300 something with his OPS around, I think, in the nines. Maybe I'm wrong. I wrote it down somewhere. His OPS is 991. He's got 3 homers, 8 walks in that span.
Mm.
More walks than strikeouts. So he's getting on base. And that's why I'm like okay with him at 2, because Olsen at 3 and then maybe Riley at 4. And look, if Drake is playing, put Baldwin at 5 ahead of Ozuna, right? And then maybe Ozuna, that helps out a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I'm good with basically anything when it comes to Tuesday and Wednesday, other than as long as Albies is not in the five hole. Like I'm just so over that whole thing. Hey, let's go out to the phone lines, back to the phone lines. Let's bring in our buddy Larry out in the truck. Larry, hey. I hope Mrs. Truck's doing well.
She is. We did get a little bit wet at the rain out on Friday night.
Oh, man.
And we went home before the 13-0 situation.
You didn't miss much.
No. And as far as the Braves are concerned, I got two words for you next year. I got one more thing after that. I got one more thing after that. I didn't get to say anything about the socks. If you wear short socks,
oh, yeah.
Ankle socks, if you wear short socks with dress shoes, wrong.
Okay.
Don't do that. You can wear them with tennis shoes. You can wear them with loafers. You can wear them with your golfing and all those kind of, you know, less important things.
Casual
but if you
shoes.
Put them on with the shoes, then you got a problem with that. And as long as you match the socks with whatever your outfit is,
ooh.
You know, I got about 70 pairs of short socks, something like that.
Wow.
And because I got all color shoes. You know, you got to be coordinated in everything you do. Just listen to your wife if you're not good with your colors. Listen to your wife.
All right. That's
so anyway, enough. You guys take care. It's good. You know, look, I love Bo, but I'm kind of a mafia guy. I'm one of those kind of guys. I'm kind of a mafia guy. I'm just like, Bo, you still my dog, man. Don't worry. I'm gonna get one of your T-shirts regardless.
There you go.
I'm gonna wear it under my mafia shirt.
Thanks for the call, Larry.
Appreciate
man. Appreciate
you,
it.
Mike's mafia.
As always, yeah. Bo's gonna be so mad at me.
I love
the ankle socks talk. Anybody didn't remember that? We were talking about whether or not ankle socks were in fashion. Dylan, we got time for one more. We can go to one more phone call. We'll go out to Phil out in Madison, Georgia. Phil, what's going on, man? Hope you're having a good Monday.
I am. Good morning, Allie.
Good morning.
This is the first sergeant reporting in.
From the Army? No.
Amazing.
Oh, wow. Attaboy.
I got a couple of things to say real quick. My bar would be Phil's Potions.
Phil's Potion. Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I was really excited at the beginning of this spring year for the Braves and United. I was looking forward to a late summer, fall, meaningful games out of both of them.
Yeah.
But in honor of July 4th, I know a lot of people are going to be smoking things, hot dogs, whatever. The comparison between the two units is very, very striking. One, a lot of people are saying they got a lot of talent, just not performing. A lot of money has been spent on both teams, not performing. So, two-fisted meal for you. Grab a fork in one hand, a knife in the other. Stick one in the Braves, stick the other one in the
Knicks,
and call them up.
Appreciate the phone call, Phil. Unfortunately, we got to go to break.
Ali's
Army. First Sergeant reporting.
Love
that, man. Love that.
Well, and I think Pearl has a common fear that a lot of people have is that we're going to talk about them on the air. So, Pearl, you're not alone in that. You're not alone. Well,
sorry, Pearl.
We have been talking about Michael Penix landing last in this NFC South QB list. So we're going to get back into that conversation next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift with Mike, Bo, Ali Mac, and Dylan. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com and get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Before we get into the Nick Shook article from NFL.com misrepresenting Falcons QB Michael Penix, Bo, Mike and I were just talking off air about fireworks starting up in neighborhoods this week as everyone's getting ready for the 4th. We had some go off at 9:30 last night.
Dude. Yes.
Yes. And so the 4th is usually a holiday I somewhat fear when I'm working mornings because fireworks go off at night.
Yes.
And sure, we get the day off on the 4th, but with those fireworks going off at night, you're trying to go to bed at like 8:30, 9:30, and it's causing chaos with dogs. And so it's the worst holiday for morning radio people.
Well, I will tell you this much, too, and Bo's getting ready to get a massive just dropped in the deep end here.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad holiday for parents that have young babies because, and I can remember my first year having a baby. You know, I'm usually the guy like, yeah, shoot those fireworks off. And then had a guy like 30 yards from our nursery window at like 10 o'clock at night on the 4th of July. And there's really only 6 days out of the year near my house that you're allowed to shoot off fireworks. And that's one of them. And like, boom! And all of a sudden the kid's crying and you're like, what the? What? I just got the kid to sleep.
Yeah.
And luckily there's been in the last couple of years an influx of young parents in my neighborhood to where the point where I can't think of anybody shooting off fireworks up and down my street, which only has 12 houses on it. But dude, it's a good thing you know your neighbors well, Bo, because that is something that would be in your crawl so quick. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, as far as I know, nobody on my street is going to do it, and they normally don't. Now, it doesn't, it's very, I mean, there's all around us. My buddy that's actually, I think he's going to, I don't want to post this out there. I don't know if he's going to be around or not for 4th of July, but he used to do it, and it's hard to explain, but it's basically on another side of a hole, on the hole that we're near.
Sure.
And it's technically like just a street over, but it's a long ways in some ways.
Because it's a golf hole.
Yeah, but you can hear it very well. And he used to do just an extravaganza. They did, though, take it back to where at one point, I don't know if they're doing it this year because I haven't seen anything that the neighborhood would do like fireworks in our, we have a little park in there, and they would do it in there. My dog is, Sprinkles is somewhat okay with it. Like it's got, the older she's gotten, the more it actually does irritate her. But I am a little bit worried about it. I'm kind of curious how the holiday is going to, the 4th is going to treat us. Cause you know, bath time is, you know,
yeah, dude.
Certain time. And like, I mean, we're going to go to my buddy's house and have dinner and everything, but are we like rolling at like 9 for bath time? Like, I don't know. I don't know
that
what
baby, that baby moved in with you. Yeah. How do Han and Chewy do?
Han and Chewy are fine, but it's my other dog, Nora. She is just the worst. The last few weeks with the storms that have been coming in and out, absolutely awful. So last night I hit a new level of homeownership when that firework went off the street over. Couple of them went off at 9:30. She was already like in bed, ready to go to sleep, and it went off. I grabbed her and went out on the front porch, and Grant was there. I was like, "Where's the HOA now?"
All these letters about our weeds.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was so upset
and
about it.
I'm assuming that y'all's situations are similar to where in Sandy Springs, there's only 6 days out of the year that you're allowed to shoot off fireworks.
I have no clue.
I had to learn very, very quickly. I was going to say,
I
hate to be the get off the lawn because I used to be the guy out there setting them off. You know, I'm like, yeah, I love this holiday. Boom. Well,
let me ask
like
you a question.
Cannon going off out there.
Is that 6 days, like 2 days before and 2 days after the holiday? And then the holiday is like just built in it?
No. So it's like the actual holiday, which would be, you know, New Year's Eve or 4th of July. And then a lot of them include like the Friday before the holiday or the Saturday before the holiday. So that you can do fireworks shows. If you want to do fireworks shows, like, hey, July 4th on a Tuesday, maybe you had the fireworks show on a Saturday. That's the caveat for it.
Because we're, and I'm much like Allie, apparently they've started a week ahead, but normally it's like a couple of days before, and then it's like the hangover almost to where there's these people that maybe had too much fun on the actual 4th, and so they couldn't shoot off the fireworks.
Right.
So you get like those July 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th fireworks shows, and at that point, like that does annoy me sometimes. I like the firework thing. But dude, you live in a neighborhood, a community with a very
kids
overzealous HOA at times. Do you need to be shooting fireworks off 4 days after a holiday? Is it like I think
I hate the way
that
makes me sound, but I agree with you. I'm like, man, I had, you know, kids or dog, whatever, I'd been like, yeah, this is the best, and it is one of my favorite holidays of the year.
Yeah,
but
Mike, when I lived in the woods, I didn't care. I'd be like, what does it matter?
Yeah,
we live in the woods. It's not a big deal. I guess my thing is like, you're kind of that guy when you think that because you bought them and you're gonna light them all, that you can do it 4 days after the holiday. You're kind of become that guy. It's one thing. That's where you're just saying, well, I'm more important than you. You're the guy going down the emergency median because you don't want to wait in the traffic that everyone else is waiting in.
I just don't think anyone thinks about it that closely, though. Like, when you know, we used to set off fireworks and stuff. I wasn't thinking there might be babies or dogs.
Yeah, same. I agree.
I agree to an extent.
The median people, they know what they're doing.
A day or two before, you know. But at this point, there's enough social media that you know if you're the guy shooting fireworks off 3 days after the holiday or before, that you can go on Reddit and say, am I the a-hole? Because you are.
I'm just going to tell you, for my dog's sake, I will be visiting the pet version of the Georgia Hemp Company and seeing what I can get.
Well, they have the CBD.
We'll have to hit Joe up and see what we can do with that, man.
I need to find some, too.
It's a bad factor.
Yeah, it's a bad factor. You know, someone that probably shoots off fireworks a week ahead and a week after is Nick Shook from the NFL.com. He's got to create some content.
That's what I'm talking about.
So, hey, he's a ball knower. He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Well, he was creating content for us today. He wrote an article ranking quarterbacks by division. And for the NFC South, we've been talking about this all throughout the show. He put Michael Penix last behind Tyler Shuck, Bryce Young, and Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, and the caveat is that any quarterback who hasn't thrown a pass in the NFL is going to be ranked 29 because that's usually what he ranks rookies on their way in when it talks about the rankings of 1 through 32. The caveat being is that he, for the veteran quarterbacks, used last season's postseason rankings to be able to do this, and there were 59 quarterbacks ranked in that. So Michael Penix being ranked 30th on that list, it's not even as bad as it looks. It's just bad when you put it next to Tyler Shuck and J.J. McCarthy and guys like that being ranked at 29. So you still have, you know, Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco and all those other, Desmond Ridder, all those other quarterbacks are ranked after Michael Penix, which they should be. But it's frustrating to read the list and see the math that goes into it. You're like, dude, this is the dumbest thing I've ever written. Like,
why even rank him?
Yeah, what are we doing at that point?
Why not just put like an NA?
Because he ranks them
them last.
He ranks them 29th because he's only ranking 1 through 32.
Okay.
But now he's including the postseason rankings where he included all 59 quarterbacks that started the game last year, and it's throwing the math completely off. And then he utilizes that same math. The average for these four quarterbacks in this division, this is what I came up with, so this is what they're ranked.
It's
ridiculous.
As bad as making up your own formula to rank quarterbacks is, right? You could just take stats and compare them and then say, I watched all their games, and this is what I took away from it. That's fine.
Yeah.
As bad as is the word I want to use, I don't know if I can say, but is just self-righteous, I guess I'll go with. It's making your own little formula to judge quarterbacks that no one really needs or cares about is to do it in a way like this and then in the middle of the article say, I know people, a lot of people might be critical of Bryce Young, but a true ball knower knows how great he played. And that's when he lost me because he ranked Bryce Young 16th. He's not.
Yeah.
He made great strides. That last like 10 or 11 games he played, he threw 15 touchdowns, 6 picks with a 61% completion percentage, which is okay, and he made strides. But to call yourself a true ball knower and other true ball knowers will agree with you and then have Tyler Shuck at 29 and have J.J. McCarthy at a 29 ranking and say, well, no, Michael Penix is 30. When you've seen Michael Penix do things, I don't know, man. I think if this guy and I had a conversation in a room with a door that was locked, one of us ain't coming out alive.
Whoa!
That way, guy got dark in a hurry.
Or let me say uninjured. I'm not threatening anybody, but you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? Like
maybe
two men,
walk back my Ronald
one
Acuna
room,
take a minute ago. It's
one room,
weird.
One man comes out alive. You know what I mean? I didn't mean it like that.
Right,
you know.
Mike. Don't say Ronald Acuna should move down the lineup again.
Actually,
might go
take
bad
back
for you,
what
bro.
I said about the two hole.
I got the greatest. I don't know if you've actually seen the movie, but I just got a text for the greatest movie analogy ever on this Ronald Acuna Jr. moving him in the lineup situation.
Okay.
It is phenomenal.
Okay.
Phenomenal. I don't even know if I can put the person's name out of this in it to me, but it is phenomenal. I probably can.
Well, coming up, maybe you'll clue us in on that.
I will. Trust
okay.
me.
Well, Angels are also coming to town this week to face the Braves. Didier is likely on the mound. We'll talk about that. And we've got a Life of Squid.
There's a gambling probe. Another one in the NBA. This one I saw some video footage of. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, this is going to be bad.
He's cooked.
Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 99 The Game, And?
The Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. It's the morning shift. You've got Mike here, Bo, Ali Mack, and Dylan behind the glass. And the Braves had another frustrating weekend. We've been talking about it all show long. Are you guys starting to come to a consensus about this Ronald Acuna Jr. thing? Did I hear some collaboration?
I don't think so.
No? No?
Well, and look, I didn't come into the show today being like, you know what, they need more Ronald Acuna. That's not my point being is that something has to change. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of watching Groundhog's Day at Truist Park. I'm tired of it. And I think that given the second half of this year, because some of these guys, so many of these guys are under long-term contract, that it's not as simple. You don't have the ability to say, we got to wait till this guy heats up or this guy. The back of the baseball card thing is non-existent for me right now. And so I'm throwing out any scenario that I think kickstarts an offense that is about as stagnant as you could possibly be.
I do have one point we haven't brought up today, is that Friday, when it was that torrential downpour, everyone is out of their seats, and we're waiting to see if this game is going to be played. The Rome Emperors, they canceled their game. I feel like we maybe should have canceled that game. It was so bad. They pulled Ronald Acuna out so he wouldn't get injured in the outfield. Like, that's a problem.
That's a good point.
Because I think that game would have gone totally different.
I don't think that is strictly a Braves decision. I think that has to do with the both teams' travels and Major League Baseball and everything else going on with that. So I don't know what the hierarchy goes, but there's I would be curious to know what the rest of the Braves actually felt about that, because a lot of times they don't like pushing games back because then it leads to doubleheaders and things like that. But if you could have fast-forwarded and told the Braves, hey, you're going to get the crap beat out of you, I'm sure they would have been like, you know what, let's move this.
Well,
let's move this to another day.
If you ask Bryce Elder,
exactly. Well,
I'm sure he wished the game got moved.
Yeah.
Right.
He was awful. And I think you brought up a good point earlier, but maybe it's not his fault. He hasn't been good his last three starts since that Giants game where he was probably the best start he'll ever have in his life. But you make a very valid point with the warm-up thing. And, the whole conversation about the lineup, I think we're just not hearing each other. I don't think Mike's listening to me, and I don't think Mike thinks I'm listening to him. I'm not saying he can't switch the lineup. I'm just saying there's certain guys you can't. A person texts me, and I've gotten permission. Grant texts me, and he's like, okay. And if any of you have seen The Departed, there's a scene in the bar where Leonardo DiCaprio's character hits a guy with a glass and starts beating him up. And one of the main, I don't know if you even call him antagonist, but characters in the story is called Mr. French. He's like, and he's like, you know who I am? And he's like, no. And he goes, well, I'm the guy that tells you there's guys you can hit and there's guys you can't hit. And that's almost a guy you can't hit. So I'm making a rule and you can't hit him. Grant says there's guys you can move in the lineup and there's guys you can't.
Okay.
Ronald's a guy you can't move. Matt Olson is almost a guy you can't move. But he's not unmovable, right?
Yep.
I will concede you can move Matt Olson, but you can't move Ronald.
Okay. And I do hear that. And like I said, I didn't come in here saying Ronald Acuna's got to be moved to the leadoff spot. And I actually am erring on the side of I would not move him. But I think all options have to be on the table. And I understand Grant said I could have told you Grant was going to be on your side of that. Grant, I think, likes things to stay kind of status quo. Grant's a believer, and Allie knows this. The conversations I've had with Grant all throughout last year, Grant would have to walk me off the ledge a little bit and be like, dude, it's cool. Like, they'll be fine. And then you see, obviously frustration at the end of last season, the offense. What I hear when I hear you can't move Ronald Acuna, it almost goes back to the conversation we've had about the quarterback room with the Atlanta Falcons. Well, Kirk Cousins cannot be the backup. But I don't ever have reasons why he can't be the backup.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean? It's like, well, you can't move Ronald Acuna out of the one hole. Yeah, I mean, like, we're not stealing bases at the same clip we were. And it just keeps coming back to, well, that's where he wants to be and that's where he hits best. But we don't have a large sample size out of what he could do anywhere else in the lineup.
He did not start his career at
yes.
lead up.
Yeah.
And then at one point, they're like, oh, let's put him, I think, at like three. And it wasn't the same.
I remember them doing that. It was like a week or so, wasn't it? It was a short window.
Yeah. Into that, it wasn't as long as maybe people wanted, but the reality is he is a spark. The lineup, like having him at the top, like leading off games, is just this, and it's not every time, but there are a lot of times it's this spark of energy. And He's been so good there. So good with leadoff, home runs, all these things. Not moving him. And that's not the problem either. I would move Matt. I could move Matt down to three if I knew I had a guy. Because when the lineup was really operating, it was Ronnie one, Ozzie two, Matt three. Now, I know that you're not getting Ozzie what you used to get. I get that. But I would put Harris at nine. Where you lose me is where I think the biggest thing you got to figure out is when Drake's there, who is – because Drake has hit some at two.
Sure.
But now I think he's primarily hitting at three behind Matt, and that's where you wanted Matt Olson. So you've got to figure out how to – because the real problem has been 6, 7, 8, 9. And how do you kind of twist that to get the most out of it?
I would put either of the catchers that are hitting in the five hole and move Ozzie down and move Ozzie to seven. And Profar obviously is going to slide in front of that. And look, just to go back to the conversation, we'll put a bow on it. I agree with you that Ronnie batting leadoff is not the problem. I just don't know if we're getting everything we could out of what Ronnie's bat could be. And you mentioned leadoff home runs. I would say if there's one stat to me that sticks out this year for the Atlanta Braves, and I don't even have the number in front of me team-wide, it's been hitting with runners in scoring position. Mm-hmm. And I would like to create more scenarios, whether or not that's Ronnie or not, to give opportunities to our best bats to hit with runners in scoring position. Because if our best bats are, you know, one and two, and if we have a game where 3, 4, and 5 go silent, then that's the only opportunities we have throughout the game to be able to actually knock runners in with our best hitters at the plate.
And look, I get it, but you also won't – again, if one and two are getting on, if one's getting on, it means two has a chance to hit with guys. But I need the best – I need the most consistent players getting up. I can't have Eli White or you name it. Because there's really no, because there's nobody to put there.
No,
that's
not
the problem.
I was going to say,
and I can't have them getting more at bats than Acuna and Matt.
I would say, and I'll say this: I think that what the situation we can both come back to here and to, you know, put a bow on this entire conversation is if everybody else in the lineup other than Ronald Acuna and Matt Olson don't play better, then there, it doesn't matter what you do. It's not going to matter where Ronald Acuna hits and where Matt Olson hits. We can say it till we're blue in the face. If you keep getting the returns you've got out of center field and left field and shortstop and second base, then Ronald Acuña could hit ninth in the lineup for all I care, because nothing's going to happen different than this team in the wins and loss column.
Yeah, and I guess I always think about what's working and what's not working, because I don't want to mess with what's not working. You know, it's funny, Austin Riley gets a lot of grief, a lot. And you look at his numbers, and they have not what maybe they have been or what you need from him, but they're not terrible.
Yeah, like I said, in June at 255.
I could say I need more. Yeah. He's a guy that's always – that's the other thing is this lineup is a streaky lineup. Olson is very streaky. Riley is very streaky. Ozzie at times in his career has been very streaky. None of them are streaking. Olson is, but that's it. He's the only guy, and he's been – and Ozuna, who has been just so good for the last 2.5 seasons – and suddenly, I feel like he's starting to play banged up. That's why if Sean Murphy starts streaking, then Stint needs to probably have one of the both the catchers active. The problem is you don't want both your catchers in the lineup at the same time.
Yeah.
If one's DHing, because now you have – if you move – if something was to happen and Murphy was to get hurt, if he's catching, or Baldwin was to get hurt and Murphy's DHing and he's catching – now you have to pick. Now your lineup just got even worse because you can't even replace the designated hitter. You have to have a pitcher hitting that spot.
Well, and to your point about Sean Murphy doing well over the weekend, and you know, would he be a good DH or whatever, you know, to be able to put and give Ozuna some time off? One of the reasons he did play well over the weekend is because you faced two left-handed starters, and one of the reasons his numbers have started to climb is because they are able to pick the matchups you want out of that catcher position with the left-handed and right-handed bat. So you start taking that away, and you wonder if Sean Murphy's numbers start to dip as he faces more right-handed hitters.
That ball he hit Saturday night, I mean, that was a rocket. Before we get to this Malik Beasley story, we had we converted someone this weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Our boy Dean.
That's right.
Converted him twice. once with the W sauce, Baron Burton's W sauce, the way.
He was all over that.
He goes, hey, man, this stuff's pretty good. Where can I buy it?
Hear you guys talk about it all the time. It's pretty good stuff.
I said, it's the first time having it. He goes, yeah. I was like, well, you can go to Publix. They have BOGOs. Or you can go to WSauce.com, use promo code
Squid,
and get 15% off your order today. And I and Mike can attest, I literally went verbatim into that whole spiel. Like, and then he comes in.
Sound like a life of Squid out there at the tailgate.
We're in the middle of we're doing that Saturday show, and we're in the middle of a break. And he walked in, and he was like, man, I should have got beer before I came. I said, I got one for you. He goes, what you got? The Allen Lager. And he goes, what does it taste like? I was like, just trust me. What'd he say? Loved it. So, anyways.
I was nobody before I joined the nation.
That's right. I'm out here just converting folks. You know, we had the story.
Porter.
Porter's brother. Yeah. Porter's brother.
Jonte Porter, I think was his name.
He recently found out he kind of had basically been point shaving and giving people insider information, all kinds of stuff. Well, now Pistons Malik Beasley, who was actually going to be one of the bigger free agents, right, Dylan, that's available in the market, is under allegations because basically a prominent sports book detected unusually heavy betting interest on his statistics alone beginning around January of 24, which if you remember, Mike, pretty sure that story came out about Porter in like January or February of 24. So, you know, this guy's probably had been kind of clinched up the last year and a half, Beasley, over everything. There is one video of a game that is it's a 7-point or 8.5-point spread in the game. And it's a 9-point game with like 10 seconds left and there's a missed rebound.
Oh, no.
Beasley grabs it. I mean, sprints down court and dunks it to make it a 7-point game in the loss. And somebody was like, see? Right there. Now, it could have been that it was a points thing, right? That maybe he was a point or two away from something that had, but it looks suspicious. And I'm telling you, I don't know, Dylan. I don't think they ever investigate unless they think they got you.
Yeah, I was about to say, if they don't think there's any merit to it, usually they don't waste their time on it. I also saw another video, Bo, where he was guarding Tyrese Halliburton, or guarding, quote-unquote, Tyrese Halliburton, and he just let him go straight by him.
Wow.
I mean, it was obvious that he was just like, I'm going to act like I'm playing defense, but as soon as he takes a step, I'm going to let him go right by me. Yeah. Exactly. He was playing that old Matador defense right
Dang.
There.
And Terry Rozier is also under some federal investigation for activity around unusual betting patterns surrounding some of his stuff. So this is – the NBA is running into this – right now, and a lot of people fear that with the NFL and stuff, I just think it's harder in the NFL.
So much harder.
But man, this is where you get scared with college athletes too.
I agree too, and I think you look at it but sometimes it's easy to identify these guys in the NBA. If the guy signed an $83 million contract and he wants to point shave, guess how much money he probably put on the over-under that day? Probably like $500,000. You're like, hey, it's for some reason, I don't know, we've only ever got $50 on this, but Malik Beasley's over-under today got $500K. Like, what just happened?
Yeah, some guy named Malik Measley. I don't understand it.
It's weird. I don't know what happened.
Not cool, man. Well, we are donezo for the day. For Mike, Bo, Dylan, myself, Ally Mack, thank you for being here. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. The Steakhouse is coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And don't forget to
stay cool, Atlanta.